Are you willing to pay for more light rail and buses? Because the Sound Transit 3 measure is on your fall ballot. It's called Proposition 1. This is a $54 billion package with the money coming from a sales tax, a car tax, and property taxes. Those taxes and the construction would last at least 25 years. Urging you to vote yes is Shefali Ranganathan of the Transportation Choices Coalition. She calls this a once-in-a-generation opportunity to connect the region with rail, Everett to Kirkland to Tacoma. I talked to her and an opponent of Sound Transit 3, Maggie Fimia of the group Smarter Transit, says this project would not solve congestion.
The implication that this is going to help people with traffic or get you out of traffic is patently false. It has no effect on traffic.
How can that be that it doesn't affect traffic?
Right. The reason is so few new people are getting onto it. The plan for the last 20 years and the next 30 to 40 is we move people off of buses on to rail. And light rail was never meant to go out into the suburbs. It was meant for very high, dense urban cores. I've got the numbers from Sound Transit. They finally told us how many new riders, and actually they didn't tell us new riders, they told us new trips by new riders. So if you can imagine, between now and 2040, according to Puget Sound Regional Council, which is the planning agency, we're going to be taking about 4 million more trips in this region a day. It'll be up to 19 million trips a day just in this four-county region. Sound Transit, even with 100 miles plus of light rail, will only attract about 64,000 new trips. That's after decades and decades and billions of dollars. Mostly it's people moved from the buses onto the trains, and there's no plan to help those people that are in buses stuck in traffic.
Do you accept those numbers?
Those numbers are cherry-picking the facts. Right now, into downtown Seattle, the Central Business District, 45% of commuters are on transit. That's today. When U-Link opened to Capitol Hill and to the Husky Stadium, boardings grew by 28,000. 15,000 of those 28,000 were new trips, new boardings. These are people who hadn't been on transit before.
Maggie, the new UW and Capitol Hill light rail lines seem to be going gangbusters.
Yeah, because they've Mr. Constantine, who's in charge of Metro and of Sound Transit, rerouted dozens of bus routes to feed the train. That's the plan. That's always been the plan, and that's the plan in the future, is existing bus riders. Yep, you have high ridership when there's games, but those aren't commuters. Sound Transit had promised about 103,000 riders by now with that segment. And they're getting all excited because they're doing that once or twice. But it was supposed to be an average by now.
Shefali, are we just moving people off of buses who are already using public transit?
Some of those transit riders are bus riders. But what is not part of this conversation is the fact that bus service got better. More neighborhoods are connected with more frequent bus service, better service. And that's the plan for transit agencies all across the region. When light rail opens to Linwood, community transit absolutely plans up in Snohomish County to be able to do east-west so that you can feed into light rail. I talked about capacity of light rail. It is efficient to move those people, and people are voting with their feet. 101,000 boardings a few weeks ago. And yes, some of them were Husky game goers, but let's be real. What people are making is they're making a choice not to be stuck in traffic. So that's why they're getting on rail, because it's 4 minutes to downtown, 8 minutes from Husky Stadium to downtown.
You want to respond?
Again, this does nothing for traffic, and they admit that. So if people think that this investment is going to be reducing traffic, just like we thought last 20 years, it's incorrect. We get calls and letters from folks who have lost their bus service, or it has been rerouted so that they can't make those connections easily. Older people, disabled people, it's fine if you're a young person with a backpack. It might work really well for you. But a lot of people are losing their service. The whole system needs to rise, not just winners and losers. And that's what's happening in the region.
Maggie, what about greenhouse gas emissions reduced because of fewer cars?
That is a huge misrepresentation of the facts. They are counting both ST1 and ST2, which brings, I think, about 60 miles of light rail.
These are the earlier parts of the Sound Transit project.
Yes, that we've already approved. They're counting those. Plus, they're not counting the enormous amount of greenhouse emissions that happen by building these systems. So your net benefit isn't out for decades and decades and decades with greenhouse gas emissions. That's just, there's a very good blog on the Washington Policy Center just this week about how it's about $100 we'd paying to get about, I think, 11 cents of reduction.
Shefali, I take it you dispute those numbers.
I mean, you're quoting the Washington Policy Center. They are a known conservative blog that I think may be climate change deniers. Look, it is simple. Transportation is the single largest source of greenhouse gas emissions in our region. And unless we find ways to give people options to not drive by themselves, we are going to be stuck in this cycle for decades to come. And a light rail is clean, electric light rail, and it will move 16,000. It has a capacity to move 16,000 people an hour in each direction.
What is your vision for more and better service instead of Sound Transit?
So it was
three.
When we decided not to do rail here in the late 60s and early 70s, we turned down heavy rail. And folks need to look up the difference between heavy rail and light rail.
What's the difference?
Heavy rail is the systems that I grew up with in New York, or used in Chicago, or BART, totally separated from traffic, many, many cars, so can carry thousands of people, and it is fast. Light rail can be no more than four cars long, and parts of it have to share the right-of-way with cars in intersections. So you can configure a bus system, as cities all over the world have done. You get the best aspects of rail, and you use it for your bus. So dedicated lanes, or almost dedicated lanes, like up in community transit with the Swift bus. It's a bus-only lane. Prepay. Bus pulls up, all the doors open, people deboard and get on very, very quickly within 11 seconds. So again, like a rail. And comfortable seats. This light rail, when they're at capacity and overcapacity, most people will be standing and will not be comfortable. And the express bus is going to go away. It's kind of the dirty little secret of this plan. If you're going from Everett to downtown now for work and back on express bus, that's one stop. The light rail has to stop at every station, 15 to 16 stops. So when we decided not to do rail, we decided to do high-capacity bus system here. And we committed to 310 miles of HOV, and the bus tunnel. And consequently, we have some of the highest transit ridership in the country, and we're letting that degrade. Why is that?
That's Maggie Femia's description of the Sound Transit 3 we're about to decide on. What's your vision of it, Shefali?
Look, I'm a bus rider. I've been a bus rider for decades, and I'm a transit supporter. And there is a role for buses. And Sound Transit 3 has investments in two bus rapid transit lines on 405 and on 522. There is a role for bus rapid transit. But the vision that Maggie just described requires you doing dedicated right-of-way. So that means, picture this, taking away an entire freeway lane for buses not to be stuck in traffic like everything else. She mentioned Everett. The average time that it takes for you to get from Everett to Seattle on time is 76 minutes. That's today. Our HOV lane system is failing. And unless we are willing to give up lanes to make this bus rapid transit system work, it's not going to work out. And, you know, we talked about capacity. To move those 16,000 people that I talked about, you need 175 buses. One light rail train moves that in one direction. And so we're talking about the scale of investment to make bus rapid transit truly shine. You will need the scale of investment that you're looking at with rail.
That was Shefali Ranganathan, Executive Director of the Transportation Choices Coalition, telling you why she thinks you should vote yes on Sound Transit 3. That's Proposition 1 on your ballot. And you also heard from Smarter Transit's Maggie Femia, part of the No on ST3 campaign.